All right, y'all. We're going to have a few minutes of silence, followed by the set-aside prayer. Dear God, please set aside everything we think we know for an open mind and a new experience. Please help us see the truth about our need to come to believe in a power greater than ourselves. Amen. So I'm going to read something. It alludes to, it hits on, this is something that actually someone here, Tarek, had sent me just on a random day. Because he does that and sends cool shit to people. And I managed to be one of those people that day. I don't always get that. That day I was privileged. So I appreciate that. And I printed it out shared it with a group one time, and I'll read it occasionally, but it talks about a concept that they hit on in We Agnostics in the second step. It's called an elder's meditation, and it says peace, and you know, these guys are talking about the internal condition, and I'm seeking peace. At the end of the day, like, I want peace over anything. I want to be okay. This tells me where it's going to come from. Peace comes from within the souls of persons when they realize their relationship, their oneness with the universe and all its powers, and when they realize at the center of the universe dwells the great reality, which they talk about that here in the big book, and that this center is really everywhere. It is within each of us. If we are to know peace, we must look within ourselves, not out here. In order to do this, we must be still and quiet the mind. The power is in the silence. You know, a lot is missed with meditation in the midst of this thing with people. And we're not going to go into that, of course, a lot with this, what we're talking about. But being silent, being still, connecting to that that's already within me and getting unblocked from what's already in me that's going to keep me well. So it exists out here, it exists in here. And we're going to talk about where and how to find this power, because clearly we need it. If you're as fucked as these guys just told you you were, I'm convinced of that. He was convinced of that, still convinced of that, because I can't just be convinced and then become unconvinced. Like, you know, I need to know how to access this power at all times, so that's what we're going to talk about. So I'll turn it over to Elroy.
So, yeah, one thing is Brandon was kind of, when he was sharing that little meditation with us, is I was thinking, like, how many people in here, I'm curious, you can raise your hand, you don't have to, I don't really care, but how many people in here were, like, really uncomfortable in that meditation, and maybe it felt like it took a really long time, or maybe you were playing on your phone. Maybe none of you guys enjoy meditation because you don't like to sit with yourself. And I think that's noteworthy because that was exactly what Tarek and Carl were describing. Can't be in your own skin, you know. And I'm really glad that it was Tarek and Carl that gave that first step workshop because, you know, they've been doing this long enough that they can really get very specific and very well-spoken description to the internal condition, to powerlessness. Because kind of like Tarek shared at the end there, it's the foundation for it all. When I was first getting sober, my sponsor shared something with me that's kind of stuck with me, and that's, you know, the 12 steps, while they sound like this rigid, like, okay, you see the 12, you think the 12 steps and you think of like a staircase or a ladder, you know what I mean? One comes before the other, but it's really like this seamless transition. You know, so like when we wrap up here, we are going to leave it right for Bill and Brandon to pick up on step three, just like Tarek and Carl left it right, you know, basically defined that you are fucked, that no matter what you do, like, and what any other human being tries to do for you or to you, you will get high, you will drink again, and you'll die from this. And I like how Tarek talked about there being no hope in step one, because there isn't. You're fucked, you know. And so when I was surrendered, it was very clear to me. You know, the book talks about being faced with two alternatives. You know, until I realized that I was fucked, that I was beyond human aid, you know, I was sure that a new job or a new house or a new girlfriend or moving to Seattle or, you know, being in jail for 9 months or going to treatment or I'm depressed. So maybe if I go see this doctor and he prescribes me some medication for depression, I won't be depressed and then I won't want to use. Well, if that was what my problem was, sure, that makes sense. But that's why it's so important to understand the first step, because I understood the physical, but the mental and the spiritual, or the unmanageability, it put language to what I'd never experienced before. So, you know, Brandon and I have never really done this. We're just going to kind of willy-nilly our way through our experience and through the chapter to the agnostic. You know, so I'm going to kind of pick it up where Tarek and Carl left off and talk about that for a minute, and, you know, Brandon's going to talk, and, you know, we're just going to kind of shoot from the hip here and see how it goes. So on page 45, it says, lack of power, that was our dilemma. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than ourselves. Obviously, but where and how were we to find this power? So my experience coming in was, it was very simple. I found no hope and no power in step one. When faced with my own spiritual and physical mortality, I refused to accept that as an option. So the God idea, the spirit idea, the power greater than yourself, or whatever you want to call it, there's no room for question, really. You know, because if you look at the first step, and you are going to get high or drink no matter what. Worst case scenario, you try this 12-step thing and it doesn't work and you get high, which is going to happen anyways because you have no power. And by the time I had gotten here, I had tried everything under the sun I could think of. You know, I had been incarcerated. I had seen the doctor. I had moved across the country several times. I had gotten a new girlfriend. I had, you know what I mean, gotten a side chick, worked two jobs, like doing everything I could think to do to try and, you know, just manage, control, or manipulate my life to circumstances that, you know, didn't cause me to drink or use. What I didn't understand was that it wasn't any of that shit that caused me to drink or use. So it was very simple for me to accept, I wouldn't say accept step two, but like, it was a very quick process for me. It was, I'm fucked. So, you know, I heard Lindsay share in a meeting once, and this has really stuck with me for a while, is, you know, it wasn't even the belief in a power greater than myself that I was really, like, I was, you know, I was hopeless enough to consider it maybe. What I was, what I did come to believe was the hopelessness and futility of life as I had been living it. And that was enough for me to move forward. You know, as we read through this chapter, you know, it gets into some goofy science stuff and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm a guy who needs evidence to support something. I can't just believe something. You know what I mean? I need to have evidence to support it. You know, and what I've found that the 12 steps really is, this is my opinion, but the 12 steps, in essence, to me, are basically the scientific method. You have a hypothesis, you know, that God can free you of the bondage of self and heal your addiction and, you know, all that good stuff. The 12 steps is the experiment, you know, and I was interested enough and hopeless enough to run the experiment, and that's what I did. And so we're going to kind of talk about that. I know Brandon comes from kind of a different place as to where he believed in God when he came in, so you'll get some cool little dynamic, or maybe it's not cool to some of you guys. That's cool, too.
It's cool to me.
But real cool. And, you know, this is the last thing I'll say, and I'll shut up. You know, if maybe you're in here, you don't have a sponsor, or maybe you're kind of questioning this whole 12-step deal, or maybe you just don't know what you want. So Brandon, I know a lot of you are in a halfway house, but Brandon was like my recovery coach. Ooh. And actually, he wasn't even my he was like my friend's recovery coach. But one thing about Brandon I saw was that he like made believing in God and the 12 steps look cool. The same way that, like, you know, those kids smoking weed out behind the dumpster in high school looked cool. Like, this was like, he was like working steps and like helping people, and he was excited about it, and it was like the coolest thing I'd ever seen. And I was like, wow, like, you can do this shit and achieve that. And I thought that was noteworthy to share with you guys, because it's, I mean, I was sitting in that chair, and now I'm sitting up here with this guy, and that's, I don't know, that's cool to me. So I'm going to turn it over to Brandon.
Yeah, I'm Brandon. I'm a drug addict, by the way. I didn't even say that.
I didn't either.
Yeah, this is Elric. He's a drug addict,
yeah,
too. So, yeah, and I had the same thought that he had. A Friday night sitting here 4.5 years ago, I can promise you I ain't talking about God. and I ain't sent with other sober people, if I'm with anyone, I am not well. Like, and I don't want to be around you. Like, I don't, there's no smile on my face. There is misery. And to think that I get to sit here and my friends and I are putting on a fucking 12-step workshop, how amazing is that? Like, for me, for my mind, it's phenomenal. There's joy. I look forward to this thing because of the excitement and what's been given to me from accessing this power. Like, I don't know how else to describe it other than just complete transformation, life-altering, internal peace. Even on the days when I messed up, like this morning, I was not okay internally, but I was okay. Because you know what I did? I called people. I prayed about it. I talked to people. I believed that, you know what? God, I know it's cool. I know, I acknowledge this discomfort, and we're going to move forward. This power exists, and there's no depth to how far that I can reach this thing. It's however much I'm willing to access it and become conscious of the presence of this power is how, you know, content and at peace I can be. I do want to hit this real quick before we move forward. It tells me they talked about it, summed it up, but then they nail it at the beginning of We Agnostics, which is where we find step two, is where I've been taught to find step two. Step one, doctor's opinion to 23, you're talking about primarily the physical physical allergy phenomenon to craving. 23 to 43, they're talking about this mental obsession, the power, I've lost the power to choose. And then 44, 45, and 52, they're hitting on the unmanageability, this internal condition. We agnostics, we're going to talk about, you know, I've seen my need for power. Now we're going to talk about how to find the power. But they tell me in like a paragraph all the stuff that they covered in those first three chapters. In the preceding chapters, I've learned something of alcoholism and drug addiction. I hope, or they hope, that they have made clear the difference, the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. When Brandon honestly wants to, he finds he cannot quit entirely. Okay, so that means that I can't stay stopped. Or if, when Brandon is drinking or shooting meth, he finds he has little control over the amount he takes. He's probably a drug addict. Yep, that's me. And if that's you, welcome. Yeah. And if that be the case, they're not real. Like, they give the only statement, but you know, they're not very nice about this thing, really. Like, they're pretty clear that, hey, you're probably going to die or be miserable for the rest of your life without God. I was convinced of that with my first step experience. So if that be the case, Brandon's probably suffering. I may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And we're going to read spiritual experience. It hits to that, and it talks about it later on in the book. And it says, you know, to be doomed to an alcoholic death or to live on a spiritual basis, it's not always easy alternatives, because some of us come in hating God. It's so resentment feel like, ugh, I hated my church experience. Ugh, these assholes at church treated me so bad. And they did. I'm not denying that. They probably did. Not a false resentment, not a reason to like feel that. But I'm gonna tell you, the experience that I've had and the whooping that I've gotten and the worship that I gave other things and the belief that I had and the faith that I had and other things that's been real mean to me, how do I stay away from that? Heroin was mean to me. All this shit that came with it, very mean. Very mean. Not a good experience, but I worshiped it, and I had faith that when I did that, it's going to work. Is it going to work? Of course it's going to work. I'm going to get the feet, unless they sold me some bullshit, and this and then it didn't work. And then I was real upset. The internal condition was real screwed then. I worshiped so many other things that were terrible for me. So I have to lay aside this prejudice, which we're also going to talk about. So, you know, it's not an easy alternative to face, but when I'm doomed to the alcoholic drug addict death, or I'm faced to or asked to live on this spiritual basis, I've experienced the joy that comes from this power. Therefore, I continue to want to seek it like I sought that power and that substance. That substance, I sought it with everything I had. Everything I had, I sought it. I put my life into seeking that power. I wanted that experience. Everything about my being needed that, and I put it in there. This, for me, can't be real far off. You know, I can't tell you that I do all the things all the time, but there's a willingness that's been given me, a surrender that's been given me, and I pray for this willingness still for motivation to stay connected to this power, because it has absolutely transformed my life. They talk about on page 46, page 45 real quick. The book is about enabling me to find a power greater than myself, which will solve my problem. It says that after lack of power, that was our dilemma. Lack of power is also always my dilemma at this point in my life. It's never not my dilemma. Lack of power with my relationship. Why can't she just think how I want her to think? Why can't she feel the way I want her to feel right now? Why can't my boss just pay me more money? Why can't the people that I try to work with do what I think they should do? Lack of power is always my dilemma. You know, I just have a way at a solution to, like, experience life and sometimes relinquish the need to be in control of these situations. And I'm given the power to move through these situations as well. So the book is about finding power. The steps are about finding power, because clearly it's my problem in step one and all of my other areas as I've gotten sober. And at the end of the day, it's always about doing drugs, but at the end of the day, it's not. It's about life, too, and it's about lack of power in other areas. But when I experience that lack of power and this discomfort enough, it's always about drugs. Because at the end of the day, without being safe and protected, I lose my life if I go back to that. So they use a bunch of words. Supreme Being on page 46. I had the set of steps I did ask me to circle all the things that they talk about. If God bothers you, the word God, let's go with power. Let's go with Supreme Being. Let's go with it. They don't say that, but I say that. Let's go with it. Creative intelligence, spirit of the universe, realm of spirit. This is an experience. Idea, conception, experience. Conception doesn't really matter. I experience the power consistently. But I started to experience it through a process of working the steps. What do we have here, Albert? Here we go. Yes, page 46, first paragraph. Yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. The thoughts and experiences of being like looking upon the world of warring individuals, warring theological systems, inexplicable calamity with deep skepticism. We look with disapproval at many individuals who claim to be godly. We judge the shit out of spiritual church people, you know, because we were possibly judged. But we're doing the same things that they're doing to us, doing the same things. So yes, we of agnostic temperament have had these thoughts and experiences. Let us make haste to reassure you. We have found that as soon we were able to lay aside prejudice and express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, I commit to get results, and they commit to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power, which is God. I don't have to figure God out. I don't have to understand the God of my own understanding. I have no idea. No clue. No clue. I do not understand God, but I experience the crap out of it. Because God, this thing is so beyond my human capabilities of understanding or conceptualizing whatever there is. My grandma, my great-grandma was one. Energy, nature, whatever. It didn't matter. So, one more, and then I'm going to turn page 47, or turn the next section. Oh, you got something on that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
run that. Just real quick. So, you know, I spent a lot of time in this space. So, like I said, step two came easily, but also when we start talking about conceptions of God and stuff like that, you know, I was a guy, I ate a lot of psychedelics and stuff, so, like, it got real weird, you know, engineered human race and aliens and, you know, collective conscious, all that stuff. And it comes out and says it right here. It is impossible for any of us to fully define or comprehend that power which is God. You know, that means that, like, name, gender, attitude, like, this thing is so vast and insane and incomprehensible that all you're really doing is, like, mentally masturbating and trying to sound all cool and, like, it's fun conversation, it really is, but, like, when you're trying to, like, not shoot dope, not shoot meth, not drink alcohol, it's really pointless, you know? And so one of my favorite lines in this book is bottom of page 46. It says, "We found that God does not make too hard of terms to those who seek him. To us, the realm of spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men and women." And another noteworthy portion at the top of that paragraph I should have read, "Much to our relief, we discovered we did not need to consider another's conception of God." That's the best part about this. There's, I don't know how many, 50, 60 people in this room maybe. We all have different ideas of God. You know? And the real trippy kind of cool thing is that, like, whatever your belief is, whatever you think God is, whatever attributes you've assigned to God, your beliefs are going to shape your experience to have that. Like, if you believe in, like, a punishing and vengeful and wrathful God, your perception of your past is probably pretty bleak because, you know, you think, oh, I've been a bad person, I've done these bad things, God has damned me to, you know, a life of eternal misery and all this stuff. If you believe that God loves you and that God always wants the best thing for you, then all of a sudden, that same set of experiences looks like, wow, like God really brought me full circle through all this bullshit so that I could sit in front of 60 people and talk about him, you know, and try and give them some hope and maybe say one sentence out of all this shit that's coming out of my mouth that's going to leave here with you, you know. So it doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what Brandon thinks or believes. You know what I mean? It's about what you believe, you know. Me and Brandon can sit up here and share our experiences and, you know, what happened to us and what worked for us, you know, but you're having your own experience. And, you know, just like in the first step, you know, you don't want to look at Tarek's experience and say, oh, Tarek's definitely an addict. You want to look at your experience and say, well, what am I? You know, what is God? You know, and for me, it was that, like, God is, you know, we're going to get into that in a little bit, but that was just kind of the little piece I wanted to share on that before we kept moving.
Cool. Top of page 47 says, "When, therefore, we speak to you of God, we mean your own conception or idea of God." Definitely applies to other spiritual expressions, which you find in the book. And again, do they ask us to lay aside prejudice over and over and over. "Do not let any prejudice you may have against spiritual terms deter you from honestly asking yourself what they mean to you." At the start, this was all we needed to commence spiritual growth, to affect our first conscious relation with this power as we understand it or experience it or may even think there might be an idea of it. Afterwards, we found ourselves accepting many things which then seemed entirely out of our reach. That was growth, but if we wished to grow, we had to begin somewhere. So we used our own conception, however limited it was. And then here, step two, in a nutshell, you know, there's like the like depth in the mechanics, and then there's the simple, like, 1, 2, 3. Well, here's the 1, 2, 3. Ask yourself one short question: do you now believe, or are you willing to believe, that there is a power greater than yourself? That's it. Not that you believe in, but that you believe it exists. Maybe a strong suspicion, possibly, there's something greater than me. I mean, that, you know, that's a no-brainer. Surely there's things more powerful than me. So that's all we're looking for to. And it says, as soon as a man or woman can say that he or she does believe or is willing to believe, we emphatically assure you that you are well on your way. It has been repeatedly proven among us that upon this simple cornerstone, a willingness to believe, that a wonderfully effective spiritual structure can be built.
Let me go read. Did you guess up on that? Do you want to read the appendix?
The foundation, they talk about building a structure with the cornerstone and the keystone being my third step decision. The foundation of all this, again, is our first step experience, y'all. If my foundation isn't solid in this first step experience, that I need power, that lack of power is absolutely my dilemma, it's going to be real hard to believe in this, to believe that I need this power and come to believe that there may be something out there besides me that's better suited to like function and run my life. How well did that go? Did you run your life well? I didn't. I don't. Not good at it. I got fired about 4 years and 2 months ago. God said, hey, move, get the fuck out of the way, please. Please stop running this into the ground. Please, please. Thank you. Here's a surrender. Now enjoy. Like, now do work and stay surrendered. Yes, sir. Cool. Run that. So,
cool. So, at the beginning of this chapter, it says you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience can conquer. And that's something they talk a lot about in this book. It's talked a lot about in Bill's story. You know, they finally come out and said, this is what you're suffering from. You need a spiritual experience. That sounds like some super heady shit. I don't really know what that means. For me, that was, you know, I heard spiritual experience. I reflect on LSD trips and stuff like that. And I'm like, but I'm sober now. What does this mean? Is God supposed to shine a light on me? This now starts sounding like some Jesus stuff, which I didn't really have a resentment towards, but I was more of a place of like, I just, who am I to say what is right and wrong? And so I really needed some clarity on like what a spiritual experience is. Like, how does reading a book and like writing shit and talking about shit, like how does that create a spiritual experience? Like, it just didn't make sense to me. And so there's this little asterisk that, you know, says please be sure to read Appendix 2 on spiritual experience. So, and this was a game changer for me. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. Yeah, so 184, first full paragraph. Most of us think this power, or this awareness of a power greater than ourselves, is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. So it pretty much came out plain and simple and said, you know, this spiritual experience we're talking about is like when we become aware of God, or that God exists, or that God is present with us. And that makes things a whole lot simpler. It's not this crazy, otherworldly, weird, inexplicable thing. I mean, sure, sometimes like people have those experiences. I haven't necessarily had those. But it's not a requirement for you to get this, you know? Another thing my sponsor shared with me was, you know, because I'm a worshiper, it just hasn't been God. You know, for a while it was the 12 steps, for a while it was my sponsor, for a while it was my home group, for a while it was my girlfriend, it was all this different stuff. But this is a spiritual program, and all of the, you know, the home group and the steps and the sponsor, they're all just fingers that point to God. And so through that logic, you know, if this spiritual experience is just the awareness of God, then it sounds like the name of the game is we need to be aware that God exists as often as possible. Okay, cool. Well, how do we do that? That's what this book is about. So I'll turn it back over to Brandon.
Page 48, in the middle of the, it ain't even the start of the first full paragraph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down, it says, faced with alcoholic destruction, which is step one, my first step experience, we soon became as open-minded on spiritual matters as we had tried to be on other questions. In this respect, alcohol and drugs are a great persuader. They finally beat us into a state of reasonableness, and sometimes this was a tedious process. We hope no one else will be prejudiced for as long as some of us were. I believed. I never not believed that there was a God. It's not my experience. I wasn't an atheist or an agnostic. I just, when I first saw the 12 steps on the wall in the first treatment center I went to, I scoffed and I was like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me. God, really? Like, magical stuff, God. Like, we're going to just pray this thing away. Sprinkle something on me, give me a pill, and make me right. Please don't tell me that this is going to be about what I've never been able to do my whole life. Please tell me that that's not what I'm about to be asked to do. Until this first step experience happens and this surrender happens, I, believing in a power, still was not able to accept this. So, I wasn't super prejudiced that it existed, but I was prejudiced that it wasn't going to work. But I'd never accessed the power. I'd believed in the power, but I'd never had access to the power. Now I've been given a process that I don't have to come up with or make up or continue to reinvent. I just have to do it. And I've found access to this power. I've gotten access to this thing. So, and it's just remarkable. Absolutely.
So, I kind of alluded to this idea of, the steps being the scientific method, this methodical, clear-cut path to have an experience with God. So, second full little paragraph on 48 says, "The practical individual today, or Elric, is a stickler for facts and results. Nevertheless, he readily accepts theories of all kinds, provided they are firmly grounded in fact. We have numerous theories about electricity. Everybody believes them without a murmur of a doubt. Why this ready acceptance?" So, we all learned a bunch of stuff in school, so I was taught that, if I walk over to that light switch and flip it off, electrons are, no longer going to be moving through the cable to go to the light. That's not really how it happens, but we're just going to pretend that's what happens. My teacher, basically, whatever my teacher said, I believed it. Without question, and I think this is a noteworthy thing to reflect on, how, we're just taught things and we don't question them, and nobody really knows if that's what that is. You could have told me it was God when I was a child and I would have believed you. But the more I developed and the more I started to have this grandiose self-importance of I know everything, I know that's not God. I don't know that. I don't. You see a bird flying through the sky, and you're like, "Oh, that's a bird," but you don't really know what that is. That's just what somebody in school told you. What is that thing flying through the air? How do you know that that's not God? You don't. Who are any of us to who elected any of us the authority to say what is and what isn't? You know what I mean? Am I crazy?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Definitely indeed. Crazy. But then it goes on to say, so everybody nowadays believes in scores of assumptions for which there is good evidence but no perfect visual proof. And does not science demonstrate that visual proof is actually the weakest proof? It is being constantly revealed as mankind studies the material world that outward appearances are not inward reality at all. Sounds just like me. My outward appearance does not reflect my inward reality 99% of the time because I'm full of shit. So, can we have some congruency here in what we believe? Maybe. I digress. Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So, thank you, Brandon. Down towards that large paragraph at the top of 49, it says, "Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? That has got to be like the most ignorant thing I think I've ever heard. So I was very much like a life is arbitrary, you know. I wasn't really on board with like everything happens for a reason. Like I, you know, that was just some stupid shit that like old ladies in menopause that practice Wicca like said, you know. That's just what I thought, you know. But so. As God is surrendering me, as I'm laying on this dirty mattress I pulled out of a dumpster between these two apartment buildings, weeping, because my internal condition is literally crushing my soul, I could not swallow that pill, that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. You know, I liked to seem like this, you know, nihilistic, smartass who, you know, knows some shit. But, like, when faced with that spiritual and physical mortality, I could not believe that. I could not swallow that pill. You know what I mean? And it was, to be quite honest, in that moment, steps one and two were worked for me. Bam. Because when I came in, it was, I was so grounded in surrender in step one that it just all came so easily. You know, and to think that, like, our human intelligence was the last world, the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end of all. It's cynical. It's ridiculous. And in my gut, it just wasn't. It wasn't what I truly believed. And it took this huge emotional displacement and rearrangement that God facilitated for me to align like my head and my heart in a place to where like I could actually start to look at the facts here. Okay.
On page 50, going to look at the middle, third paragraph down. It says, on one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed, every one of them. So let me go back up one. In our personal stories, you will find a wide variation in the way each teller approaches and conceives of the power which is greater than himself, which we find in the rooms and in sponsors and in friends and in other members of 12-step recovery. Everybody talks about their way and the journey that and the way that they approach and conceive this power. Whether we agree with the particular approach or conception means to make little difference. Experience has taught us that these are matters about which, for our purpose, we need not be worried. They are questions for each individual to settle for himself. It's on you. Get a God you can do business with. Build a God program. I don't give a shit. Like, build your own God. It's your God, not mine. Make it what you want it to be. You know, you're the one that's got to do business with this thing. Let it be something that you like, something that you feel comfortable talking to, experience, and communicating with. Give it its own beliefs and things that's okay. My God has to be, like, not really judgy, because I still think and say some not okay things, and it's got to be okay with that. Like, if I'm going to talk openly with this power and communicate consistently with this power, this power's got to be pretty damn cool. So, because it's going to have to hear me say some not okay things. Like, cool. Build your own God. Find your own God. Let it be a God that you can experience and do business with. And then it goes on to say, on one proposition, however, these men and women are strikingly agreed. Everybody's got their own God. Woo, congratulations. Every one of us has gained access to and believe in a power greater than ourselves. This power has, in each case, accomplished the miraculous, the humanly impossible. Humans could not fix me. The power fixed me. When it comes to drugs and alcohol, I don't get high no more. And so many other people in this room don't get high no more as a result of connecting to this power. Everybody agrees that it had an experience with the 12 steps, and God can say the same thing. I was beyond human aid. This power worked a miracle in my life. Did I want to read one more? Okay, yeah. Here are thousands, the last paragraph, unbelievable. this paragraph is just remarkable to me. Here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. They flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, to take a certain attitude. And what is that attitude? Turn to page 55, and I'm going to tell you what that attitude is. That attitude you're going to find on the 1, 2, 3, 4, 4th paragraph. The attitude is that if I can sweep away prejudice, if I can think honestly, and if I can search diligently within myself. That's the attitude. I have to think honestly, lay aside prejudice, and search diligently within myself. If I'm willing to do that, then I might be able to experience this power. Certain attitude towards this power, and to do certain simple things, which is work the rest of the steps. There's been a revolutionary change in my way of living and thinking. In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of my human resources, I found that a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into me. And this happened soon after I wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Definitely baffled by my seeming futility of existence. And now I show the underlying reasons why. Once confused and baffled, once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, I show the underlying reasons why I was making heavy going of life. Leaving aside the drink question, I tell why living was so unsatisfactory. I now show how the change came over me. When many hundreds of people are able to say that the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their lives, we present a powerful reason why one should have faith. So, consciousness of the presence of God is absolutely the most important fact of my life, and it exists whether, you know, it exists. It exists, period. It exists. You want to hit the bedevilments?
Sure. So, then we get to that middle paragraph on 52, the bedevilments, as some call it. The description of the internal condition that we had when we came in. So we had to ask ourselves why we shouldn't apply to our human problems this same readiness to change our point of view. We're having trouble with personal relationships. We couldn't control our emotional natures. We were a prey to misery and depression. We couldn't make a living. We had a feeling of uselessness. We were full of fear. We were unhappy. We couldn't seem to be of real help to other people. Was not a basic solution of these bedevilments more important than whether we should see newsreels of lunar flight? Of course it was. When we saw others solve their problems by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting the power of God. Our ideas did not work, but the God idea did. So this was like so important to me. Was sitting in your chairs that you guys are sitting in, or sitting in treatment. For me, it was sitting in treatment, having some guys come in, you know, they share their story. I pull them aside after the meeting and get to talking to them. And they're starting to tell me things that, like, only people that shot dope and meth like me know. You know what I mean? Like, some of the shit we all did, you know, you can't make it up. And so I became convinced that this guy used to be like me, and now he's not. Okay, and that's noteworthy, you know. And so when we saw others solve their problem by a simple reliance upon the spirit of the universe, we had to stop doubting it. Our ideas did not work. I was crystal clear. My ideas did not work. That guy was crystal clear that his ideas did not work. And he said, you know what, dude? God does. And I was like, whoa. Like, when this guy told me, he's like, you can recover. Ooh, that shit gave me goosebumps. Like, if I was suffering, man. Like I said, like, that those last couple days, you know, circumstantially life had been a lot worse externally. The internal condition that was crushing me, like when that guy told me I never had to exist in that space, in that enslavement, in that, like literally, like, dragging this ball and chain around with me everywhere I went, I didn't have to exist there anymore. Not all the time. You're still going to have that shit. You know, you're not going to be this happy, joyous, and free thing all the time, but what he did promise me is he was like, if you do this, like if you get a sponsor and he's competent and he takes you through this process and like, you know, the most important part of your life is having a relationship with God, he was like, you will never shoot dope again. And that comes back to what Tarek and Carl were talking about. Like that surrender and being so crystal clear on that first step. You know, identifying with what I just read in that first paragraph and being like, holy shit, that's me. And saying, this is the solution. Okay, let's move. Yeah. Sure. Yeah, so this logic is great stuff. This is top of 53. We liked it. We still like it. It is not by chance we were given the power to reason, to examine the evidence of our senses, and to draw conclusions. That's what I just described. Okay? I'm a logic guy. I've been explaining this the whole time I've been up here. I like logic. So, I examined the evidence of my circumstances and senses, and I drew a conclusion. That's my first step. That is one of our magnificent attributes. We agnostically inclined would not feel satisfied with a proposal which does not lend itself to reasonable approach and interpretation. Hence, we are at a pains to tell why we think our present faith is reasonable, why we think it more sane and logical to believe than not to believe, why we say our former thinking was soft and mushy when we threw up our hands in doubt and said, we don't know. Can you be okay with not knowing? You know? I didn't have a choice. It didn't matter if I was okay with it or not, to be quite honest. As, you know, I always get really cautious when I meet somebody who thinks they know some shit. because it's a dangerous place. You know, I work in this industry too, and it's like the second some, you know, we got a client right now who's like got his plan. He needs to know what he's got to do, and I'm just like, it's such a painful place to sit and watch somebody like getting ready to burn it down, you know. And I was so blessed to just be like, I don't know, and I'm okay with it. When we became alcoholics, crushed by a self-imposed crisis, we could not postpone or evade. We had to fearlessly face the proposition that either God is everything or else he is nothing. God either is or he isn't. What is your choice to be? Now, you know, this whole God is everything or nothing, you know, very long, drawn out, intense, kind of cool conversation to have. Early on for me, God is. That was it. Because I didn't know anymore. All I wanted was fucking help. And I was made a promise by a man who suffered from what I believed to be the same thing. arrived at this point, we were squarely confronted with the question of faith. We couldn't duck the issue. Some of us had already walked far over the bridge of reason towards the desired shore of faith. That was kind of also my experience. I had already crossed the bridge. And it wasn't, you know, there was no looking back from here. And there hasn't, I haven't really looked back. And I think, you know, something noteworthy I do want to speak to this is that I didn't, like, in my second step, I didn't come to believe in a power greater than myself. It just didn't happen. Like I've said probably 100 times, and you're sick of me saying it, I need evidence to show me that a God exists. So I'm going to run this experiment, which I did. I'm sitting in step 9. I remember actually when this happened. So, you know, I went home to make my first round of amends and all this stuff and, you know, did the little brother who, like, found, you know, a trash bag full of needles and spoons when he was really young and it, like, traumatized him. He blamed himself for, like, my drug use. You know, I did the parents who, like, of course, thought my addiction was a reflection of their poor parenting and their alcoholism and drug addiction. You know, so I go home, I make these really emotionally fueled amends and all this stuff, and I come back and I'm like, you know, pretty into the 12 steps at this point. I've kind of bought in, but I'm sitting in a meeting. It's SmackDown on Sunday nights. I was sitting in there in the small little break-off group they do, and the meeting was about the 10-step promises, actually. And this was after I'd, you know, gone home and made like 5 or 6 amends. And I'm sitting in there, and they're reading the 10-step promises, and I'm like, holy fuck, it happened. Like, everything they just read has happened to me. And that was when I came to believe, was in that moment, which was way after, not that long time-wise, but, like, you know, I mean, I was doing 10, 11, and 12 and raising my hand to sponsor guys at this point when I came to believe, and it hit me like a fucking bolt of lightning. So, you know, I don't want, you know, anybody who's new or coming in or confused to think that, like, you can't move through step two unless you believe in God in that moment. Mm. Like, are you willing to maybe consider the idea that possibly there's something greater than you? You know? Yeah. I digress.
Hell yeah. So on page 54, I'm not going to read it, but it talks about we found to about us being worshipers, and of course, I've worshipped things, I've worshipped money, I've had faith that other things were going to, you know, that stuff was going to work for me with the destruction I've seen in step one. You know, I had to be willing to believe that, like, hey, maybe this, you know, everything, all other options have been crossed out, man. It's done. What do I have to do? Please tell me what I have to do. And if it means, like, God, power, steps, cool, whatever. Page 55, it tells us where we're going to find this power. And this is what I was, you know, what this reading's, why it felt right to read it ahead of time, or before we started, because it basically tells us the same thing right here. It says, on the second paragraph, it says, actually, we're fooling ourselves, for deep down in every man, woman, and child is the fundamental idea of God, and may be obscured by calamity or bad things that have happened, by pomp or ego, by worship of other things, but in some form or other, it is there. For faith in a power greater than ourselves and miraculous demonstrations of that power in human lives are facts as old as man himself. We finally saw that faith in some kind of God was a part of our makeup just as much as the feeling we have for a friend. Here they're going to tell me exactly how to find the power. It says sometimes we had to search fearlessly, and a four-step, you know, clearly says we search. We make a searching and fearless moral inventory, so I'm going to search fearlessly. But this power is there. He was as much a fact as we were. And this is, here it tells me exactly where to find the power. He was as much a fact as we were. We found the great reality deep down within ourselves. Found it within me. In the last analysis, it's only there that the power can be found. And it was so with us. So, ultimately, I do work to get unblocked from this thing that already exists in me. The same power that I've had, it's always been there. I just become conscious of it, become conscious of the presence of it. I become connected. I start to experience this thing and start to be able to tap into what's already existed within me. The continuum of life and the idea that everything is connected starts to become truth. It starts to become real to me. I start to believe that there's the same power and thing that exists in you, that's a piece of this power in God that exists in me. And when I start to connect to you, obviously connection is part of the solution to this thing, then I start to connect to more power. Imagine that. Holy shit. I get unblocked from you, I start to connect to you, more power. I get connected to myself, more power. And then I'm given the power. And then I'm not powerless. Because I'm a power working through me has now given me the power. Right? So that's pretty badass. This power is already here. I just got to go through the rest of the work to experience and connect to it. One more paragraph. We can only clear the ground a bit if our testimony helps sweep away prejudice. And it enables you to search, to think honestly, encourage you to search diligently within yourself. Then, if you wish, you can join us on the broad highway. With this attitude, you cannot fail. The consciousness of your belief is sure to come to you. They're going to talk about that attitude again when they're talking about prayer and meditation. Same deal. If I have this attitude and I work at it, prayer and meditation works, God works, the power exists. We just experience it.
You got anything else? I'll read that. Yeah. I've kind of harped on this before. I'm not even going to read, like, the two wordy paragraphs. But there's this line in italics on 56 that I think is noteworthy. You know, so this guy's sitting in a hospital, alcoholic, he's got the DTs, he's wigging out, cursing God, all that stuff. You know, he says, is it possible that all the religious people I have known are wrong? So think about that. Think of all the people in the world that are religious. Is it possible that every single one of them is wrong? It's a lot of people. It's possible. While pondering the answer, he felt as though he lived in hell. Then, like a thunderbolt, a great thought came and it crowded out all else. Who are you to say there is no God? Is it possible that maybe you're wrong? Have you ever been wrong about anything in your life? Ever. You know? Just a thought. That's all I really had on that. Just consideration. I mean, we've got like 6 minutes. You want to wrap it up with the ABCs?
Sure. On page 60, it sums it up down through the ABC, through C. It says, our description of the alcoholic, step one, the chapter to the agnostic, step two. And our personal experiences before and after, meaning experiences drunk and sober, make clear three pertinent ideas. That we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives, step one. That probably no human power could have relieved my alcoholism, step one. And that, here's step two, that God could and would if he were sought. And I'll say that God can and will if he were sought. So, if I'm convinced of these three pertinent ideas, I'm ready to move on to step three.
Is that all you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So one thing I did kind of want to touch on was my experience. Again, step two. I had no idea what the fuck was really going on up until I was sitting in that meeting. And that, like, thought came, like, holy shit, God's real and he's working in my life. Like, up until that moment, I was running on strictly the fact that I was convinced this was my last option to survive. That was it. I was running, like, I ran through the 12 steps on the conviction that I was hopeless and I was going to die. And that God was the only thing I had never tried before. You know, and so, as, you know, the rest of these people go through the rest of the steps in this workshop this weekend, it all comes back to step one. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to step one. So if you're in the middle of inventory, if you're about to start making amends, hell, if you're raising your hand to sponsor people and you don't really know what the fuck's going on, like, that's okay. Like, if you show up honestly and your heart's in it, I think that's a really important part, is that your heart's in it, you're doing it because you give a shit, you'll have an experience with it. I don't think I've met any, not that I've been around for that long, I don't know, Tarek, have you ever met anybody that, like, worked this on a basis of honesty and from a basis of their heart and they failed? Okay, cool. So, you know, I think that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah.
We'll take a 15-minute break. Come back for old Billy Knickles. Woo!